This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
And good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge. And welcome back, Tal.
Hello, hello.
Now, I kept on telling people you went to North Korea, but you actually didn't, did you?
No, I went to the other one. I went
but
to South Korea.
But you went close to North Korea, didn't you?
Yes, well, I did go right to the border.
Ah.
Which was pretty exciting.
But you didn't get arrested or kidnapped or...
No, no, no. You are allowed to actually go there with a tour.
Did you get a stubby holder that said you'd been there?
I'd been to the demilitarized zone stubby holder. Quite.
It's always good. Now, we're going to start a series that we're doing on a Pentecostalism. And tonight we're talking about the history. And we're also talking about my spying mission.
Oh, it's very exciting.
Isn't it? So we're going to... Thank you very much.
Yeah, that one might come out a few times.
Tal, you've been doing a little research.
Yes, that's right. A bit about the history of Pentecostalism.
So what did you find out?
Well, like a lot of the... It's related to the... So a lot of the American... uniquely American religions, I guess we might call it. A lot of the evangelical type stuff, a lot of the a lot within that sort of realm, a lot of the charismatic religions of Christianity. But Pentecostalism itself is relatively new, really only appeared in around 1900 officially, and sort of came out of some various different evangelical churches, so it doesn't have a single foundation, which is also quite common with a lot of these religions.
It came out of America, is that?
Yeah, and came out of a lot of more of the evangelical churches, which sort of had specific beliefs that I guess a few of them started to realize, oh, we have quite a lot in common, and so let's sort of organize a little more under.
Yep.
With each other. Big focuses are biblical inerrancy. So that's a bit different from biblical literature. That means that the Bible is literally perfect in every way. It has no flaws.
So they believe that the Bible was written by God?
Yes, which... Yeah, it's a very biblical inerrancy, really, is even more than that in a sense, where it's not even like, let's say, written by Moses via God or something like that. It is, but however it is, the transferring of knowledge to them is absolutely perfect, and nothing that it can say is wrong at any time period. That's a good way of thinking when they talk about it being flawless like that. You can't say, oh, well, that was for the time that was suitable. To them, no.
So the stories of, someone being swallowed by a whale or a big boat going sailing, they believe it literal?
I believe so. It can be really hard to see the differences, and obviously people's own beliefs sometimes slightly differ from the technicalities of church doctrine, but for the most part, yes.
And that'd be creationists rather than evolutionists.
I believe so. So that's one of them, and the big focus is on the accepting of Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And that, and the speaking in tongues and divine healing, is also a big characteristic of Pentecostalism. So that's where you're now talking about, like, the big focus is are you a Christian? Is have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? And if
they're
you do
very,
that one thing,
yeah,
then you're in.
They're very big on sin. They talk a lot about sin.
Yeah. I mean, you can probably tell me more about that, but... Yeah, I mean, it's salvation, big focus on salvation and big focus on achieving salvation right now, letting your sins out, having an emotional experience. That's what I mean by the speaking in tongues, etc. It's about strong emotional experiences going on right now in the church, right in front of everyone, and achieving sanctification immediately.
The problem with that is then you've got to hang on to your salvation, because I sent an email to some of the ones that I went to saying that I was looking for a church and I was a lesbian. Well, that's all very true. And one of them sent back this great long scree about how we're all sinners. And it doesn't matter who you are or if you've been going to church for the whole of your life or whatever, that we're all sinners. So therefore, they would allow me at their church because I'm just another sinner.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I mean, the other thing I read about was very much so conversion in something like Pentecostalism is a very... The idea of being born again is really a Pentecostal concept. And so it's all these instantaneous moments. And so there's the moment where you've converted, but also each time you go to the church, you're also supposed to have these moment... emotional, powerful experiences, usually in the case of relinquishing your sins and being sanctified. And I can imagine that must be incredibly tiring to have, you know, because those moments, that's the foundation of the religion, except it's very hard to define things according to single powerful moments.
But then you have the Catholics who have confession. You know, so it's sort of very, I mean, I know it's different, but it's similar in some ways, isn't it?
Absolutely. But I think the big difference is that, I mean, I've never gone to confession myself, but to me, I don't imagine confession to being this moment where, you know, the person might almost be yelling at you, being like, and tell us. Theoretically, it's supposed to be like this quiet, trustful moment. And here it's very different. It's a high emotion, exciting experience.
One of the churches I went to, they had an altar call they all had an altar call, but one in particular, they had an altar call in the first, and it went on for about 10 minutes. And the first thing was that they said, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour,
came up, exactly. Yeah,
Come forward, and no one went. And this is packed, this auditorium. And then they went on to, they waited, and, you know, there's music playing and all the hoo-ha happening. And then they went on to, if you've backslidden, you know, or you've been going to church in the past, but you haven't been for a while, come forward. No one went forward. And then they were getting desperate. And they said, if you've been to going to church in another church all your life, but never really accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour, then come forward. And I was getting annoyed at this point because I thought, this is really insulting to other churches. And no one came forward.
Wow.
That was pretty good. I was happy about that. Anyway, I shouldn't have been, but I was. And then the guy said, it's lovely that we're all Christians worshipping together.
Wow.
And I thought, oh dear, that's really...
But it's a strange experience. I mean, it's interesting, exactly what we're talking about, where you come to a strange thing where it's all about these moments, and then if people aren't latching onto them and people aren't admitting that they've sinned and this and want to repent, suddenly you're left a bit, I don't know, what is the group supposed to do?
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
Yes.
And you're with Tal and Joy. And we're being James Bond tonight, aren't we?
And why would that be, Joy?
I don't know. I actually, prior to James Bond, have a history with the Pentecostal churches. Well, I actually was in a charismatic church. Now, the difference with a charismatic and Pentecostal church is a charismatic church actually believes much the same as a Pentecostal church, but it's actually a mainstream church. So it might be a Baptist or church. One I was with was a Church of Christ, or it could be even Catholic or Anglican, and they actually have believe in the much the same stuff as Pentecostal, but
yeah, in many ways,
because they're mainstream, they're called charismatic.
It's a little distinction where it's like if it has a lot of Pentecostal beliefs, but it's not. It's
a mainstream.
It's part
church.
Of an yeah. Anglican church, therefore it's a charismatic church.
Yeah, and I was going to this church, Church of Christ, when I realised I was a lesbian.
That was shocking.
And I actually ended up having to leave because I wasn't willing to give up my lesbianism. And so I went off on my little motorbike to this Pentecostal church. And I get off my little motorbike and I'm here there with my leather jacket on and my short haircut. And no one would have known that I was a lesbian.
Oh, of course
unless
not.
I told them. And I said to them, look, I'm a lesbian. If you've got a problem with it, tell me right now and I'll get back on my motorbike and off I'll go. But they said, oh, no, we don't have a problem with it. So I went to that church for a reasonable amount of time. Now, I've got to say, the reason that I went to those churches is I loved the worship. For me, music is healing. It's, I don't know, it feeds my soul, I guess you could say. And so, but eventually in that church, the pressure started to come on that I should change. And so they introduced me to this lesbian who God had healed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and she's standing there with her husband and two kids looking so miserable. Wouldn't look me in the eye. And then someone kindly gave me a bag with a Katie's floral top and a skirt in it. Brand new. They'd been off to Katie's and brought these. And I said, what am I meant to do with these? I mean, really?
Well, you're supposed to...
How do you ride a motorbike with them?
You're supposed to act more feminine and then you'll be more straight, I guess, is the assumption. Yeah.
I rode past one of those bins that the Salvation Army have on the way home and dropped it in there.
Well, you could have given them to your next girlfriend.
You're funny.
Yeah, I went there.
So I have a bit of a history with these churches. But then the final straw was when they told me I had to get rid of my K.D. Lang CDs because they were evil.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, really, how could you do that to anyone?
I didn't know too much about some of these experiences, and I don't really know what to say, to be honest.
But they're very, it's like Vicky Beeching, who's a worship leader who's come out recently. She's from the UK originally, but very big in America. And immediately all these churches wipe her off their playlist and won't play the songs she's written because somehow the fact that she's a lesbian negates everything she's done. Even though she's been a lesbian for a long time, she's just not being open about it. I mean, it's crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, these are groups that are focused on having their people as Christian by their own definitions as possible all the time. And I guess in many ways, you know, it's sort of okay to sin as long as you really don't want to and really want to repent for it. And then when you're okay with being something that they're, you know, not accepting of, then it suddenly becomes a huge, huge problem.
Yeah, but in some ways, I think the sad part is that there's some good stuff in these churches. But there's some stuff that we don't, that really controls people. But people allow themselves to be controlled by them.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't put all the responsibility on them.
Yeah, no. There's a negative effect. One of the other beliefs I wanted to talk about with you was this idea of it's, you know, because of there's this focus on accepting Christ and accepting sanctification all the time, it means that the emphasis for everything is slightly different. So the example I found was that, you know, most, let's say, religious people who engage in some sort of public service would sort of say, I help the poor because that is doing God's work. Where here you're talking about, I help the poor because that helps, that gives me a chance to convert the poor, which is doing God's work. And that has suddenly a very different and sometimes very sad result.
I heard a comment from, Access, who's been in the news a bit, a comment from one of their people who said, yes, we go into the schools so that we can convert the children.
Yeah, and they're supposed to pretend at least not to think that.
Well, exactly. But I think that, I don't know, I think it's difficult because there is something about them that draws people. And there's something about their worship that I actually love. But their theology sort of sucks.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
That's all right. I think we can. That's right. Once again, we've got it.
And we're on James Bond. Which movie do you think we're on?
Ooh.
I don't really know many of them.
Oh, come on.
In fact, I don't think I've even watched one.
No.
I went
you
to
really
James,
can't say
James
that.
Bond exhibition, though, because I got free tickets. Anyway,
oh, I can't even believe what I'm hearing.
I know.
All right, so let's really talk about your spying.
I know. I put on an overcoat and a hat and dark glasses and my boots with rainbow laces because I thought no one would notice.
Did you come like in a swim, like you were came inside a diving suit and then you like burst out of it and you were in like a perfectly preened tuxedo underneath?
No.
Oh. Oh, that's right. You haven't seen James Bond.
No.
Never mind.
So I went to three different brands of Pentecostal churches. But they don't actually – the first thing that I found interesting is they don't actually talk about churches. They talk about campuses.
Oh, I see.
And there's no –
they're young. They're
there's
cool.
There's no message. Yeah, they're hip. The first one I went – and they don't actually have a church. They meet at theatre or movie theatre or a hall.
Right, so where'd this first one meet?
At the Athenaeum Theatre.
Mm.
And I got there and we were sort of herded together and lined up and we weren't allowed to go in until they told us. And then they tried to make me sit where I didn't want to sit because I was on call for work, so I wanted to sit near them. But everyone was like, seemed to be very young, except for me. And a few others, but not many.
When you say young, what's young?
I would say 20s.
20s.
The majority of people would have been in their 20s.
Okay. And what's the, can I ask, what's the gender divide?
I would have thought 50-50 almost.
Okay.
Yeah. But nobody greets you or says welcome or hello. No one actually talks to you. Everyone's in groups, or if they're not in groups, they're standing looking at their phones, playing on whatever they play on. And so there's no, it seemed to be no interaction between, for people that don't know someone there.
Wow, that's very surprising.
Yeah, and you get in and they have a band on stage. It seems that at all these places, it's very male dominated.
The actual leadership.
Yeah. And it seems that for females to be a pastor, was what they call their ministers, you have to be married to a male pastor.
Oh, I see. So it's like really,
so you're not,
really
you
there's
can't
the
be
males
in, yeah.
And then there's the wives.
Yeah.
Who get sort of a role as the pastor's wife.
Yeah. And in that, but only once in the three places I went to did I hear a female speak.
Hmm.
And that was to give the speech for the offering, which took about 10 minutes.
Yeah, so
yeah.
From what you and I have spoken about, things, not much takes less than 10 minutes.
Exactly. But they start with this loud band and it seems that, in the first one that there was some people jumping up and down, like young people do, that's fine.
The way you said, those young people with their jumping up and down.
I keep my 2 feet firmly on the ground, I must admit. And that goes on for, I don't know, about 40 minutes. It's, and it wasn't.
With the band?
Yeah.
What, so the band plays different songs?
Yeah.
Or?
But the song they play about 10 times over and then they play the next one.
Wow.
Well, not, that's a slight exaggeration, but they do play it quite a few
well,
times.
If they're going to reach 40 minutes of band time.
And then we had give lots of money. And this first one, after they collected money, they sent round plates of lollies. But I didn't get a lolly. That's because I didn't give any money, but that's beside the point. I thought I felt ripped off that I didn't actually get...
Well, I'm sorry, you didn't pay. You didn't pay for a lolly.
And then it came time for the sermon. And so I'm sitting there, and then they say, could everyone be up, stand, give a standing ovation to our preacher for today, live from Sydney? And I was insulted. I thought, you're not even going to preach. You know, this is a congregation here. Each congregation's different. And
your leader's on a Skype connection.
You expect me to stand up and give a standing ovation. Well, I'm afraid at that point I stood up and walked out. Because I was quite insulted by it. I just thought, ah, you've got to be kidding me. You know, I can look at Channel 10 or whatever it is, that, you know, on TV and see these people. I don't have to sit in this church service and look at them.
Right. So can I just confirm here? So your first meeting, you went to a theatre. You listened to a band for like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And then there was some money giving.
Yeah.
And then you left because
and
the
lolly,
guy was
lolly giving because I missed out.
Lolly returning. And then you left because...
Because I didn't get a lolly.
Because you didn't get... And because you didn't even hear the guy. Is that in the
no,
end of that one?
No, because I've listened to that person on TV many times part of the research for this program. I left. Now, the next one was at Melbourne Central at the movie theatre.
Is this the next week?
No, I had to have a break for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
I mean, really,
week
come on, Dal. You wouldn't help out, so
I
had to make
definitely
this
not going.
Ultimate sacrifice on my own. So I put on the, you know, the spine outfit and off I went again the next time. This was, and I got there early because I wanted to watch people arrive. And I got there and it was in quite a big movie theatre and there weren't that many people there. And they're all standing up singing. I thought, oh, I thought I was, you know, early, not late. And then so I stood and watched, and then they had an altar call. I thought, that's strange, you know, have an altar call at this time, you know, at the beginning of a service. But then I realised it was actually end of the previous service.
Oh, I see.
So all these places have three services a day.
Wow.
So I said there was a lot more older people at the service, and a lot more people with children. So families, young families.
Okay.
But again, they had a band. The person who led the worship had probably a good voice for singing, but not for worship leading. The acoustics were awful. And so when they actually had their worship time, everyone just stood there. No one actually engaged in it because it was so, you know, it was just not inducive to people singing it along. So there was no sing-along at all.
But that ruins the whole thing that you like about Pentecostals.
I know.
Then.
Yeah. And then we had a sermon that went on and on and on and on and on about sin and on.
What about sin? I mean, we had this conversation.
Oh, it's just, you know, how many ways can you say that we're sinners? Well, they said it every time, you know.
Right.
And then, of course, you get the altar call if you're a sinner. Well, really, if people had listened to the sermon, they all should have gone forward, really, because...
Apparently everyone's a sinner all the time. What sort of... Do they use examples of, in particular, things that are a sin?
Oh, yes. Look, this guy... this church annoyed me more than the others because of the way they overtly talked about females. And the preacher said, as an example, that he had said at Bible college to this woman, he didn't tell us what, but he had said to her that put her right about something, but she didn't appreciate it. And maybe he could have done it nicer. So he was really, it was on his conscience, you know, he realised that he had upset her. So he went to her husband and apologised. I mean, I just... And then they were talking about this conference that they're having for women called She, and it was going to be to make you into the wives that God wants you to be. So
that's
you
right.
can support your husbands.
And as you said, the name of the conference was
She. And I wanted to stand up and just yell at them and go, come on. What is this? This is 2014.
Do you know what they meant by the woman you could be?
Well, in the Bible it talks about, you know, wives obey your husbands and you're meant to look after your husband, all that.
All right. I was just hoping to try and...
All that non-feminist stuff.
I was hoping to get some rescue out of that one, but it looks like that wasn't going to happen. Yeah, that's right. One more.
I want one of those speedboat, you know, things that you see on the ads for the movies where they jump over bridges and all sorts of things.
What do you know about James Bond?
I've seen the shorts.
That does not count. Now, tell us about, you haven't seen not one Pentecostal church, not two, but three. And this isn't even including the ones you told us about at the beginning where you were a bikie.
This one was at Dallas Brooks Hall. And it said 9 o'clock. So I got there at 9 o'clock and I went in and there's me and about three other people. And again, no one speaks to you. It's just like they look through you and I don't know, you know, maybe it was the overcoat and the hat and sunglasses that put them off. But really, I didn't think I looked that scary. And I thought, what on earth is going on? And then there's about 50 people there and I'm thinking, oh, well, there's not many people. But then I realised it was a prayer meeting. And they were walking around speaking in tongues, so that was a little scary. And I'm thinking,
I have a face on shock. I have a shock face on. Cause
and I'm sitting down near the back on the aisle, and I'm thinking, don't come near me. Stay away from me. So anyway, that finished, and 9:30 church started. And the doors sort of opened and in flooded. It was absolutely packed. And they had a huge band on stage, like a huge band. And they had six singers. And they had a mosh pit down the front. And what happened was when the worship leader, who was, of course, a male, when he clapped his hand, everyone clapped. When he jumped and down, up and down, the whole place was sort of jumping up and down. But it was good music.
This is amazing.
I really enjoyed the music. It was my kind of music.
Did you clap? Did you jump up and down?
No.
Oh, why didn't you?
I'm just not into jumping up and down, really.
Oh,
I'm getting a bit old for that.
Okay, can we?
I might damage myself.
Can we come back to the speaking in tongues for a moment? Because I think probably a lot of our listeners are still like, I still don't quite know what that is.
Well, I don't quite understand it either. I don't quite understand what the purpose of it is.
Okay, what did you see?
It was just all these people wandering around the place speaking in tongues.
Okay, but what is speaking in tongues, you mean like they're speaking like a gibberish made-up language?
That you can't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
It's supposedly a gift. I don't really get how it helps for people to speak in a language that no one knows what it is.
Well, it's part of bringing on an incredible emotional moment. It helps. I know you're giving me like, what?
But I wonder if it is. I wonder if it... I don't know. I mean, I don't quite... Well,
don't get me wrong. That's its effect. They would say that you really are... If you they think... When they say it's a gift, they mean that it really is something coming from God. But what I'm saying is that the effect that it has is like an incredible emotional moment. And so I would probably say that God is not coming down and saying, I give you the gift to have an emotional moment where you blabber in tongues for a while, but that's the effect that it has, and I guess what attracts people to it. But
yeah, this church though had, again, most people in their 20s, very few people older than that. Didn't seem to be a lot of families, but of course it's in the city, so that's probably why you get that. Most of them have other campuses. The sermon that went on for 45 minutes was broadcast live to the other campuses.
Oh, but you were in the...
I was in the main arena this
time. Oh, lucky you.
It was the one that annoyed me the most because he had a go at other churches, that none of them are good enough. He had a go at ministers, which I'm one, and I just thought, there's really no need for that. You know, you don't put other people down to make you look better.
It's very strange.
All these places have their own colleges.
What do you mean they have their own colleges?
They run their own colleges where they get funding, and that's a whole other area that we'll probably look at sometime.
Oh, I'd love to.
I think that it's just incredibly controlling of people. I think it's dangerous to some point. And I worry that how do people connect with other people when you go into this auditorium? They all seem to have small groups during the week, but I bet the majority of people that turn up there wouldn't attend small groups. They asked people to put their hands up if they were new to the church, and I did because I wanted to see what they gave me. I thought it might be a stubby holder. No, it was a booklet.
What was in the booklet?
Oh, just lots of information about the church. And every picture in the booklet was of a young person.
Interesting.
And then they tried to hustle us upstairs to meet with some of the ministers and to have free coffee and food.
Oh, that's all right.
And I went out the door because at that point I wasn't interested in...
No, maybe you don't want to mingle too much.
No, I'm not a mingler. So I really don't want... I don't know what to make of my experiences. I do know that their views on women just annoy me no end. At that third church, a woman spoke, but that was to get money. So she spoke for 10 minutes, and that was the only woman that was involved up front. And she was the wife of the main dude who was a minister, who started the church.
When you say, by the way, giving money, is this like, it's not money to anything particular, it's just giving money to the church itself, right? It's
well, they hand out a card, it's like a postcard, and on the back it gives a whole list of things you can give money to. There's and you put your credit card details.
Oh, okay.
And there's the expectation that you'll give 10% of your income.
Yeah, they're tithers, aren't they?
And then they expect on top of that that you're going to give money to, apparently this particular church has brought a building somewhere in the city, so they must have huge money, which are renovating.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone, people are tithing.
So you can put into the building fund, you can put into this fund, you can put into that fund, and then you add it all up and you put your credit card details in and you hand it back at the, you know, you put it in the plate.
Right, but it's all to the church itself.
Or you can put cash in the plate.
Oh,
and this church has something like 60 staff.
Wow.
So we're talking big, big money.
Assuming full time.
Unfortunately, that's the end of Spirit Lounge for another week. And a big thank you to Brian, who's our program support, to David, who has been helping out guiding Tal in the paneling.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I have had a little help here, but hopefully I'll need less and less as I learn.
This is the first time you've been paneling on this studio.
Yes, in this one. Well, that was a very...
So you've done very well.
Very exciting show, and so much so, we need to have a couple more episodes.
Yes, we're going to continue next Thursday night, same time, 8 till 9 on a Thursday, Spirit Lounge, and we're going to go out with the gorgeous... the hunky, the she can put her shoes under my bed, Katie Lang with a summer fling.
Good night from Tull.
Good night.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Night from Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.